If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Welcome to this episode of YPAR's Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. I am joined today by the gorgeous Danielle. Oh, see, I saw my friend Danella. So my mouth keeps trying to say Danella.
Yeah, we know.
You're Danielle McLaren from YachtSpot. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. We've known each other quite a while now. I was just asking you how long you've done long service at YachtSpot. That's 3 years.
Yeah, 3-year anniversary literally last week. So yeah, I've been here 3 years. And I think we met probably about 6 months into my journey here. So yeah, you were one of my first female contacts in the industry.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't put you off. So obviously the listeners, most, if you've been on board, know YachtSpot. Obviously it's a jobs board app. How do you describe it actually?
Yeah. Jobs board website. So yeah, okay. That's how we describe it. Absolutely, jobs board. And yeah, we're very fortunate in our position that we are incredibly well known in the industry, and we've kind of become we are the leader, but we've become a name that people recognize and is synonymous with the industry. So that makes part of my job quite easy.
That's because you've taken over prime location. So the board in the Blue Lady and other basically bars around the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
The most of us went to see if there was anybody doing a job because I'm that old.
Yeah.
And recruitment and applying online, like when I started, all recruiters were doing it individually.
Yeah.
There wasn't a centralized spot. And then obviously there was the jobs board and Blue Lady. What you've done is a lot better than the Blue Lady pin board.
Yeah. Same principle, but just taking it online. Yeah.
There's no drinking.
Right.
So what truly inspired the launch of the app?
It's an interesting story. So both Steve and Daryl were working in the industry separately. Steve, the original founder, was frustrated with how the job market worked, essentially, and dock walking, building your connections or networking after work, after hours, to try and get your next role. So he felt like there must be an easier way. So created YachtSpot, and it was great with the visualization of what the business was going to look like, both in terms of like how it would look, but also how it would work. And I think it was a couple of years he'd been kind of building this idea and trying to get it off the ground. And then he had a chance encounter with Daryl in south of France, I believe. And they used to go to the same university and kind of moved in the same friendship circles, but weren't particularly close. And Daryl, who never forgets the face, was like, I know you. Steve was on the phone, apparently. Steve was like, I'm on the phone, mate. Like, please leave me alone. I'm trying to have a conversation. Daryl was like, no, I know you. Like I wanted to talk. And the rest is history, basically. So then Daryl came aboard, and together they then grew the business really successfully to what it is today. And then they kind of had a bit of a, I don't want to say make or break, but it was very much like a turning point about 3 years ago, where they had grown the business to a size where operationally they weren't able to manage it just themselves anymore. So had some business consultation and other things, and had basically made the decision that they needed somebody to come in and help them with operations. So reached out to me. I actually went to school with Daryl. I've worked in the industry before, but had quite a strong background in sort of marketing and business administration, which is kind of the lead areas that they were looking for. So approached me to join. And I'm being really honest, my first thought was hell no, because I didn't know the industry and was just very unsure. This is my first role as an MD, so I was probably suffering for a little bit of imposter syndrome as well, potentially. And within 24 hours, it was like a hell yes. I'd thought about it and was like, yeah, I need to give this opportunity a go. So yeah, said that I was interested and came in for various interviews and presentations, and then was, yeah, very fortunate to get the role. So yeah, I've been here for the last 3 years.
So when they said what they were doing in the industry, what put you off?
There wasn't anything that they were doing that put me off. It was more that I didn't know the industry, that I felt like it was quite a big role. There was some reservations of working for a friend because the stakes were a lot higher. You don't want to let down one of your friends.
Oh.
So I think it was just a bit of a sum of everything. But I kind of chatted it through with my boyfriend and a really good friend at the time. And I was like, actually, this is a fantastic opportunity. So yeah, it was purely that, really. It was nothing that they were doing. And because Daryl and I had stayed in touch since we left school and weren't really close, but I understood what the business was doing. I'd remained in contact with him when he was on the boat. So I understood the sort of pitfalls of the lifestyle. And I was very much a friend of his when he met his now wife and understood like the time being apart and all of that kind of thing. So I kind of had a good understanding of the industry and knew how complex it was and how much goes into it. And I just felt like I didn't have the knowledge for that. So I think that was probably one of my primary reservations, but I'm very glad that
Develop the Yossi mindset and go, sod it.
Yeah. I think I since have hired a mix of industry people and non-industry people because I think the balance is really important. And I actually feel like I feel that in some respects, the industry is quite behind. So actually having people that don't come from the industry and aren't like, well, that's what we do. That's the way it always is. If we want to be change makers, then we have to be looking elsewhere. So I think that's important.
That's a good point.
So explain to people what the industry was doing before YachtSpot exists. What is different to the traditional process that you've changed?
Yeah. So before YachtSpot, as I understand it, obviously not being in the industry at that time, there was lots of word of mouth recruitment. There was lots of little black book type recruitment. A lot of the recruitment agencies were existing, but they were operating in silos or with their different systems. So I think from a crew perspective, that was quite frustrating because you would have to potentially register with 10 agencies. Now we've become industry standard, and most agencies use us as their database, because it's easier for the crew to update one single source of truth, or one point of truth, as we would say in sort of a data environment. So I think that it's made that a lot easier from the crew's perspective, but also from the employer's perspective as well. So instead of having a stack of 20 CVs that you've received from dock walkers, you've spoken to your mate that's on another vessel of the same size and has had to let somebody go due to visas or whatever, but it's a crewed itinerary that works for you, or friends of friends or people that have worked for you before on previous boats. You know, that all of those things still exist, absolutely. But I think if you're then looking to source from a wider pool, YachtSpot allows you to do that with pretty much the entire industry within our database. So that's really powerful. And I think that's what's led us to the position that we're in today. It works from both the crew and the employer point of view.
That's really good. So the feedback from the crew is it simplified the process.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I have queued outside Blue Water. So it was many years ago.
Yeah. They still operate like that. They have to, particularly the ones that are in Antibes or those key hubs, Palma. They will only take appointments on certain days and they might not take walk-ins just because it's a capacity issue. Mm-hmm. So I think we take some of the legwork out of that from crew, but yeah, also from the employer side of things.
It would make it, I don't know whether it would have been a good idea that you'd been around in like a good thing that you were around when I was looking, because it would have made it even easier. Like I used to get my then boyfriend at the time was a, questioning my job search, what's it, enthusiasm, because I literally every time he'd call me I'd be on the beach, like, because obviously I've registered, so you just wait and you might as well wait on the beach. There's no point in waiting in the crew house, is it?
Yeah,
whether there's rosé there or not is irrelevant.
When
it gets past probably about 12 in the afternoon, well, probably maybe 2, and generally people aren't going to call you.
So I'm not saying that looks bad on recruiters that they've gone for their lunch and then they're not placing anybody after lunch.
Yeah.
But that's generally what we did. So it probably would have made it easier for me to go to the book.
Yeah.
Beach. Take the stress out of job hunting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think the job as a jobs board, like what happened? I'm going to try and say this again. Do you think jobs board as a job board app kind of thing, do you have a responsibility beyond just listing the job?
Yeah.
When you're like, where's your, when we're looking at crew welfare and the ethics of hiring, obviously, yes, you are just, it's a way to get that job out there. But have you reflected on like a code of ethics for yourselves?
Really? Yeah, absolutely. So we have, firstly, I think it's important to note that we are the conduit between the crew and the employer. So whereas a recruitment agency would do contracts and that kind of thing, we're very hands off. So we're the connection point between the two. So actually, when it comes to your terms of your contract, all of that kind of stuff, that is made with the employer directly, not with us. But we absolutely have a code of practice and a standard of ethics that we set ourselves and that we obviously adhere to in running the jobs board. For me, it's very important that we keep crews safe. So vessels have to register and any crew details are behind a paywall. And once they've passed that paywall, we've got the boat details, we've got the captain's details, we've got the recruitment agency's details. We also don't allow any direct messages or phone calls to crew or to and from crew. So employers are not allowed to put in email addresses or phone numbers within their job listing. It has to all go through the Yachtspot ecosystem. And that allows us to track and make sure that people can't be contacted directly until they're ready. And it also keeps, obviously, a record of everything that is happening in our system. From the crew side of things, we also have standards. So we integrate with crew paths, which people can opt to do if they want to. So that's an enhanced CRB check. So crew can put that on their profile if they'd like to. We also get them to declare whether they have a criminal record or not. And if it's been flagged to us that somebody has made an incorrect self-declaration, then we will fully investigate that. So there's lots of like little things that we do to try and set standards. What we've also started doing since I joined the business is looking at the quality of our data. So we will do random reference checks on crew profiles. So when a crew member uploads their profile, they have to put references before they complete their profile and apply for roles. So what we've started doing is due diligence surrounding those reference checks to make sure those reference checks are valid. So we will make random calls to referees just to make sure that the quality of our database remains high.
That's going over and above what technically.
Yeah.
Because obviously as a recruiter, you're supposed to be doing those kind of things, but that kind of, it gives them a little bit more confidence that obviously the candidates they're contacting.
That's right. We put all the information there. So the reason that a crew member cannot complete their profile until they've got those references is so that employer is able to make a call to somebody to make sure that person is who they say they are. And that increases the quality of our database and the crew members that we hold. So we try and think about it from both sides, what keeps the crew safe and what keeps the employers ensuring that they're getting good quality candidates. But we always recommend the employers do their due diligence. I wouldn't hire somebody for Yachtspot without having sought references and doing potentially my own due diligence if I knew of the person's previous employer, or maybe I've seen that we've got a mutual friend on Facebook or a mutual connection on LinkedIn. It's about doing that research as well. So yeah, the onus is on the employer to do that, but we provide them with as many tools as we can.
Well, there's been quite a few, especially of late, like high profile cases where obviously individuals that have got terrible track records, especially when it comes to women and violence, but still managing to go through, have references, get jobs is quite, I suppose it's one of the things with the industry that you still can get a job through a mate within it. Not everybody has to go through like somebody like yourselves, but the more, obviously, the stuff that you do and obviously crew pass, is amazing. But again, with Crew Pass, we need to get to a tipping point that there's more people doing it and calling for a standard.
Yeah.
And not.
At the end of the day, if you're hiring somebody, and particularly if you're hiring somebody in a vessel that's in close living in close proximity to other people, you absolutely need to be getting a background check, whether that's through Crew Pass or through another provider. It's absolutely imperative. And also, I think it's really important that if people have experienced bad behaviour at the hands of another individual, they must take it to the relevant authorities. Because we unfortunately get people that are saying, that notify us that somebody's on their database that they've been at the hands of domestic abuse from. And it's like, okay, that's fine, but we're not a court. We're not a judge and jury. So if it's one word against another, that's really difficult.
It's so tricky.
It's quite balanced. So if somebody that is making an allegation of somebody, we check it out legally, of course. If there's nothing legal, we always say to that individual that's reported it, you must go to the authority in your relevant jurisdiction. You must report it to the MCA. You must go through all of those official legal steps, which can seem even more traumatic at the time, but it's be really important because that is the way.
Imagine from a data protection perspective, you can't do anything unless there's evidence and confirmation of what they're being. You're kind of stuck. There is no legal way. If you did act on what they said and there's no way of proving it, you could end up being sued.
Yeah.
Which is tricky because I imagine that, especially from a female's perspective, then, you know, 99.9% of the time, they're trying to do the right thing because it is actually true. But unfortunately, the system doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
If you think about that kind of statistics, though, that 99.9% of the time, someone's trying to do the right thing. But then, especially in the UK, only 1% of all cases even get to court. The odds aren't in our favour. But the law, like you said, the law is the law. Your hands are tied.
Yeah. And the law is designed to protect you. And I've actually had personal experience of this. And I had to go down that route at one point in my life, sadly, and I got out of it exactly what I needed to break the circuit. So it is really important that happens. And I just urge people to seek the relevant help. It's not from your jobs board. It's from the relevant authorities. The law is set up for a reason. So I know how difficult it is, but that has to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it might seem unfair that, companies are backed into a corner. And that's not obviously just you, it's extended to management companies as well, facing the same kind of things. It has to be proven necessarily.
Yeah.
Although loads of people have been engineered off boats for less stuff, if you know what I mean. People getting fired for no apparent reason.
No, if you feel like you've encountered unfair dismissal, take it down the legal route if you feel like you have a case. I would absolutely urge people to do that. Again, I've experienced that in my time. So you have to, if you feel like you've got a case and you really feel like you haven't been treated in a fair and legal way, then you take it further, take it to the authorities.
Boy, lawyer. I mean, that's another episode, how complicated it is out there, I'm pretty sure I have another episode of this podcast on going down that. And actually, we've got one on the horizon with Nautilus. So, how complicated it is. Because I've said many episodes of this podcast, all issues on board turn into employment issues.
Yes.
Because you're at work, so everything that is happening on board is an employment issue. It might come under different guises of a mental health or, a physical illness, but it's still a work-related issue. And that's where other entities, like what you're saying, go into different authorities about it. Nautilus, basically, they're lawyers. Yeah, I would make sure I've always got a lawyer in my back pocket for any moment. That's me talking to my previous self, because if I'd known and understood properly, I would have made sure that I kept my subscription up for that, because that does give you the opportunity, if a situation does arise, you can and have got the backing to then fight your corner a little bit. But if you haven't got that, then that's where we end up in this doom loop of bad boats and bad situations, because nobody's actually in the best position to kind of fight back. They just go, well, life's too short, I'll just get another boat kind of thing. Yeah. From your perspective, so with a crew member ending up on board a vessel that might be toxic or unsafe or whatever, as YachtSpot, what you will just kind of always direct them to the right support network, or how do you approach it?
Absolutely. So if the vessel is toxic or there's an unsafe environment, then you need to decide whether that is legally unsafe. If it is, then you need to report it to the relevant authorities in the jurisdiction that you're in, the MCA potentially, Nautilus as well, absolutely. I would also recommend speaking to the management company. Absolutely. That kind of applies to everything. If it's toxic environment, then speaking to the relevant HOD or the captain, if it's not coming from the captain. And I think also for us, we will always make a record. If there's nothing legal, then we make a note on the system. Obviously, we can't be involved in debates about toxic behaviour. That is very much something that needs to be dealt with by the employer themselves. But we do make a note on our system. And then if we have more than one, obviously, note against a particular vessel or person, then we would investigate it and we would potentially refuse service. But it depends on the seriousness of the allegation.
I suppose, you know, you do hold ultimate, it's your platform at the end of the day, and the line has to stop you somewhere. And if the evidence is piling up, then you have to have that right to go, it's all looking a little bit shady. We're going to even suspend it just for a while whilst whatever happens. Because it's a bit tricky, especially with stuff like that, because obviously you get a boat and you're like, oh, such and such boat is just apparently a disaster and this happened, that happened. And then you change management company, the whole entire crew changes. So you can't go by just the name of the boat.
Absolutely. And we've had that scenario very recently with a high profile vessel, lost all of its crew, changed the crew out, and apparently it's a totally different place to work now. So it's really difficult establishing the line, but we have to remember that we're a jobs board to connect crew with work. We're not there as a culture representative and a mediator for problems on board. What I will say is we've all experienced bad working cultures. And I think if you're a leader, you then know how important it is to foster a great culture in your business. Well, I think that just because somebody finds something toxic might not be the same for somebody else. And we just have to make sure that you're going through the proper channels if you're reporting things and making the decision if something is a legal matter or if it's an opinion-based matter and acting accordingly.
Yeah, It is like you said, it's like, where's your line? At the end of the day, you want a good reputation for fairness.
Yeah.
So obviously that's where we can talk about obviously where you are and what you've got on the horizon, but let's go back in time.
Yeah.
Okay. Bad practice when it comes to recruitment. Now, I could probably list a whole bunch of experiences that weren't particularly great. But where do you see YachtSpot in kind of changing this? So is it like when you guys started, what the Wild West was like, what did YachtSpot's existence, do you think, changed?
So I think having a paid for service is really important, because generally employers that are willing to pay for a service have certain standards of recruitment, and hopefully that sets a bit of a precedent and an expectation in how they're going to behave as an employer. I think that taking away recruitment from social media is really important, because I think it's unregulated. You have no idea who is behind that profile. You've got no traceability if somebody decides to delete their account or after they've interviewed you under false pretenses or got you into a certain location under false pretenses. So I think, having levels of protection that a website like YachtSpot affords is really good. And I think that's one of the key focuses of us as a business, to take the risk out of it for crew, particularly green crew. So I think that's probably the most important point and one of the key things that we've changed. When it comes to other things, what else have we changed? I suppose from an employer's side of thing, we have really changed the way that potential candidates are presented. So I think that if I was hiring, I wouldn't want to put a message on Facebook saying, I'm looking for an office manager, please send your details over, because I would get one person that just tagged their friend. I would get another person that sends me a DM. I'd get another person that sends a DM but goes to another's box. I'd get somebody that says, I'm looking for a job. I'd get another person that would list out all of their experience and qualifications on the post. So then trying to compare those candidates and their credibility is really tricky, and you have to do a lot of chasing yourself. Whereas I think with YachtSpot, you're receiving applications in a very formulaic way, all in the same place, all with the opportunity to send a cover letter, all have to have a CV, all have to have two referees at minimum. You've got CRB check information on there. So I think that helps to regulate and standardize as well.
Create a fairer playing field, I suppose. Because have you ever, like, traditionally, companies, recruitment companies play favourites, prioritise candidates?
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. So I think, allowing a fairer playing field and one that is based on competencies and experience as well. Because I think the way that our system works from an employer side of things is the employers, if they post a role and they get 100 applications, let's say, they are able to filter those applications based on their need. So actually, if you are meeting the criteria for that role and what that employer is looking for, then you're going to appear in that list and you've got that confidence. So I think that really helps from both the employer and the crew side of things. So like you say, it's a fairer playing field. You know that your DM that you sent to them 5 days ago, you've got no idea whether that's been read or not. Whereas with YachtSpot, you are applying directly to that recruiter, whether it be the boat directly, a recruitment agency or a management company. And you also know if you're applying to the boat directly or a management company or a recruitment agency based on whether you can see logos or not. So as a candidate, you've got a good insight into who you're going to, not obviously the details of folks, they remain private until the capital HLD is willing to reveal, but you've got confidence that you're actually going to a legitimate vessel.
So back in the day, you must know a few stories about recruiters being completely wild. I mean, I don't think it's, even since I was there, it has professionalized a lot, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I think that now there's so many recruitment agencies opening up all the time.
Everybody reckons they can do it.
Yeah. And we're generally one of the first ports of call for those recruitment agencies because they need a database. So we probably get best line of sight of that, to be honest. So I think that actually crew have got, and employers that use recruitment agencies have got, quite a lot of choice now. So I think bad behaviour, it still exists. I heard an absolute horror story yesterday. We hear of them all the time. But I think people are a lot more aware these days. Reputation spreads quicker. You know, what the social media is great for is the name and shame type stuff that people can call out that bad behaviour. So I think that hopefully that raises the standards in the right way. I don't agree with all of the posts on there, of course. But I think that people talk, the industry is still very small, so people talk amongst themselves, and reputation does spread, or word does spread quite quickly if people are behaving really badly. So I'm hoping that we see those ones that kind of don't behave well filtering out.
God, so what's the most stupid story you've heard? Because recruiters, like any, like in the day, anybody could give it a shot. Like, no sales experience, no telephone experience. They'd just give you a crack. Only obviously the pay would have been shocking, and you would have been just like on 100% commission.
Yeah. I mean, we had somebody recently, a recruitment agency client, that hadn't done background checks. So, and they were sort of phoning us to say, and told us that they hadn't done background checks. And I'm like, what? That's your job as a recruiter. Like, so otherwise,
they're not relying on you too much.
What themselves and found somebody and not done their due diligence. So that really surprised me and disappointed me. In terms of like crazy stories, we did have somebody that the owner wanted a person with a particular birth date. So, and it was due to not star sign stuff, but astrological placement of the crew. And the owner had mapped out everybody's birth date. And so he wanted somebody with this particular date, which was really interesting. The recruiter reached out to us for some support. They were a YachtSpot customer, so wanted to try and find this person on our database, and we found them for them. So yeah, that was a really interesting one. That was probably my craziest want.
It's weird, weird because there is, obviously we talk about it's an industry and professionalism, but ultimately they're holiday homes on the water.
Yeah.
So if they have this weird thing, you kind of got to roll with it, even though it doesn't make
it. That recruit can look amazing to their client because they'd found that absolute niche request.
I mean, people on land in HR departments will literally be dying inside because I don't know whether they've ever had a case where they've asked for something like that. Obviously, I wanted to put myself forward for boats and they're only accepting girls that are like 5'9",
have to be
5'9" and a size 10, which obviously on land.
I mean, that is so outdated now, and legally that's absolutely not cool. We have, and I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but we have certain like keywords that are blocked. So employers cannot post that kind of thing on your spot. You can't ask for somebody young. You can't ask for slim, those kind of things. So yeah, I'm hearing less of that kind of stuff, but yeah, it does still obviously come up. But yeah, unfortunately, generally, I think a lot of that stuff is through social media where they're sort of saying model Stu wanted, and it's like, oh guys, come on, like that's not good enough now.
It was a Russian boat. They were just obsessed. So you had to be tall and leggy.
Yeah.
That was the criteria. I am the opposite of tall and leggy. So I was definitely not going to be put forward to anybody.
And I think I would say that you dodged a bullet. So.
I don't know about that. They just obviously had loads of really high shelves and like
colours. And there's no storms aboard. One thing that we do still see quite a lot of is no drama queens or must be willing to work super hard and that kind of stuff. And when I first joined, I was like, this isn't good enough. We can't be putting this no drama queens in adverts. Like, we're a professional organization. What are we thinking allowing employers to do that? But actually, I think that I've come around to the idea now because I do think it gives an indication to the crew member of what that vessel is going to be like based on what they write. So as long as there's nothing that's discriminatory or illegal, obviously it isn't allowed through. But if they're saying no drama queer, a zero drama boat, you're thinking, well, you probably are. Thou protest too much. You probably do have drama. So we allow that stuff through because we think it gives the crew a good line of sight as to what they can expect.
I think in that kind of terminology, like we've just been through hell. We've hired a couple of idiots. We're not up for it anymore. So you really have to be focused, hardworking, but kind of rather than saying that, they've literally gone, don't bring the drama to the boat. Like, this is not a fun boat right now. Come work hard. We'll all be fine kind of thing. So reading between the lines, I think you do. You can. And I think going back to like the 5'9" and slim and stuff like that, I think they just get a bit cleverer about doing it. I do think within the industry, it's all about, boats are about image at the end of the day. And that's all I don't think that's ever going to go away. That is always going to be a factor. But I think it's, yeah, it's not as offensive as it was before.
I think you're probably right. But what I would say to people, if they feel like they have experienced discrimination in the recruitment process post YachtSpot, please report it to us and make sure you report it to the management company, Nautilus, MCA, just report, because that's the only way that we're going to stamp out that behaviour for future, not letting people get away with it. So, yeah.
Do you think using your app kind of gives more control to crew? And more control of their careers, kind of thing. Like you said, you could have gone in the Blue Lady and you were there at the right time to speak to the right person and there you go. But obviously, if it is more structured, then there is more of a chance of actually building a solid career.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the time that you can cover by spending a couple of hours on YachtSpot versus dot walking for a couple of hours, it's like insane, isn't it? In 2 hours, how many jobs could you apply for? It's like almost infinite. So I think that's one thing. I also think keeping track of all your applications is really handy. Keeping track of the cover notes you've sent, making sure that you're following up on the opportunities where possible. So I think it takes a lot of legwork out of it. And I think also going back to the point earlier where we're talking about us being like industry standard, having everything in one place. So that's so much easier to just be updating one profile with your certs or your latest reference that you've received or the latest experience that you've gained. It's so much easier than having to notify the 10 recruitment agencies that you're registered with that you've now got this glowing reference or you've now decided to get a CRB check or background check. I keep calling it CRB, that's so old school, background check. So I think, taking more control into your application process and having the safety that you know that you're applying to legitimate recruiters is really important.
Do you think, obviously, being a tech company, it is still a balance with the tech and the human touch? Because, with everything, all technologies are like a million miles an hour these days.
Yeah.
Do you think there will always be a place for the recruiter kind of thing?
Yeah, I really do. I think that there is a massive strength to a recruitment agency that operate well with good recruiters that care about people. And I think that it's essentially you're doing a job or part of a job of the captain or the HOD for that specific part of their business. So a good recruiter should know their boat really well, know the personalities, know the type of individual that the captain or HOD is looking for, but also understand what those wants and needs and likes and dislikes of that captain are. So I think we're working really hard to develop the platform as much as we can, but we can't take away that final bit of human touch, which I do think is, really valuable. I do really think there'll always be a need for recruiters in any industry, but definitely good ones, because as the technology advances, somebody that's just placing somebody like willy-nilly and not doing background checks and not putting the right person in the role, I think they're going to fall away a little bit. But I do think there'll always be a need for good quality.
What do you think about, obviously, because you've been with the company 3 years, captains and management companies, how have they responded to YachtSpot? So obviously in the beginning, they're quite loyal to traditional recruitment processes. Did it take them a while to kind of come over?
I think we've got a really good balance. So actually, a lot of our larger vessels will use us and they will use a recruiter. So they will have their preferred recruiter and then they'll also have their YachtSpot account. And based on, there's normally sort of a couple of things that are involved in the decision making. It's the seniority of the role and then also the time, essentially, that the captain has. So I think that, and I would make the same decision in my business as well. So I will often place my own candidates and I'll use YachtSpot and LinkedIn, but I've also used a recruiter when I don't have the time to filter those applications, and I need some support in doing that, or I've got a specialist need to fill. So I think it depends on that, really. And yeah, we coexist very happily alongside recruitment agencies.
So folks do go into a moment, it could be mid-charter, someone's got off, someone's got fired, desperate times, call for deficit, like it's all hands.
Yeah.
So you and however many recruiters to get it done.
Yeah.
But you, like you said, if time's on their side, then the boat can just use yourselves.
Yeah.
I suppose. So it gives them an option. So obviously it's another option within the industry.
I think also it depends on like if they've lost somebody, so say they've gone to Palmer and they're there for a week and they lose someone on the last day before they're due to move and it's a Sunday and they're leaving tomorrow, they're probably going to use YachtSpot because they need to have somebody there that afternoon or certainly the next day. They make a recruit call to a recruiter on Sunday. Not all of them work. Some of them do. Maybe the sort of younger companies that are willing to impress, but a lot of the larger ones might not pick up the phones. They're probably not going to get you somebody there the same day. So I think it's, time frame from both the time that the captain or HOD has, but also the time need of the charter or whatever's happening next for that boat.
Yeah. So I'm part way through a podcast about AI. It's literally terrifying, but kind of intriguing at the same time. So I'm in the for AI camp. I do like it. I think it's one of those moments in history where you have to embrace or die. It's coming whether you like it or not. I do quite like the fact that it can't come up with original thought. I think that's probably going to be the ultimate. There's lots it can't do. So the future of hiring in the yachty world, can you see stuff on the horizon for it?
So I think the future of AI in yachting for us is we are using it to support our business, so support our business operations, and it's becoming more and more helpful as the tools grow. We have been using AI for a while in the algorithms that operate behind the scenes for search criteria, etc. But actually, we've just started taking it front-facing to the client. So we are now making recommendations on shortlists of candidates with summaries and like synopses for employers to help them make choices if they're short of time. I think the next step for us will be using AI to support the writing of job roles and posting roles, which will help from both the client side, the employer side, and the crew side, because the more detail that you're seeing in a job ad would be better. So we're just continuing to evolve and use it and put it in different places. So it's been a really interesting journey for us.
Brilliant. It's rapid. It's like, honestly, the change in technology is absolutely insane. I can give you an example. So we just obviously started the Yacht Puzzle Wisdom app in the beginning that cost nearly £3,000.
Yeah.
You can get one. Obviously, similar framework, not as many features. Max, who works on this podcast with me, she recreated it in 10 minutes using AI for $20 a month.
Yeah, insane.
So I think with the rapid situations like yourself, you're ahead of the curve because you're already established. So really it's just adapt or you'll get left behind. I think we'll just get to a saturation point because technically everybody could create now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And I think the original thought thing, like you mentioned, is important. We still need originality, but it's almost like it's so many people's thoughts, isn't it, that have gone into it, that it's almost like, actually, could that even be better than one person's original thought? I just don't know. But I was a little bit resistant to it for personal use or like for business personal use until recently. But I can be quite direct sometimes with my comms. So I actually used it recently to
sound more friendly.
Sorting a couple of emails, and it's really worked well for me. And then I use Excel a lot, but I'm not an Excel whiz by any stretch. And when I need to do something that I don't know how to do, I feel like I can never ask Google the right question or phrase it correctly to get the answer that I want. So then I end up looking at five different links and none of them are right and I don't get to the point. So I asked AI for a formula yesterday and it delivered. And I was like, that is amazing. And I was really happy. Any Excel formula questions are coming from me. And I just like the way that it's more conversational. Google can be a little bit literal. So sometimes if you don't Google the right thing, you might not get the right result. Whereas I think that AI is really great at sort of reading people because of its learning. So it understood what I was saying with me just asking it once rather right. than...
It gets to know you, which is kind of freaky at the same time. Yeah. Like, part of me is like, if I put this into a robot and it lived in my house, it would probably end up killing me eventually. but it is the yachting industry has been changed by the existence of online in many different ways, whether that's actually your time on board, training on board, hiring on board, and then learning for your next, from a female perspective, learning for your next business or career afterwards. So it is incredible. And yeah, like I said, it's embrace or die, really.
Yeah.
So looking forward to the future, if you could introduce an industry standard right now, so you have the power when it comes to recruitment, what would you do? When you're talking to the powers that be, I want a new regulation that does this.
I think it would have to be the discrimination. It's got to be, hasn't it, if you're talking about employment. So just make sure that nobody was discriminated against at any stage of the hiring process. Yeah, very tricky one, but I think that would make the world a better place. And I have to say, I've already seen in my 3 years here change in terms of the number of women in the industry in senior roles and in roles that you wouldn't traditionally consider to be female led. So yeah, I'm absolutely loving seeing that. So yeah, I think that would be really, yeah, I'd have to put my money there, I think.
Oh, make the world a better place.
Yes,
world
exactly.
Better place.
Yeah.
There are crazy women that want to be on deck.
Yeah.
I never understood them. Yeah. I was not a woman of those women.
I met my first female engineer in Yeah, and I was made up. So I was like, yeah, that's amazing.
At least they've got the option. I think that's the...
Yeah. And it comes, it's not just women, it's underrepresented communities in general. And I think we're seeing more ethnicities as well, seeing more women in different roles, seeing more women in leadership roles, more female captains. So yeah, I think, yeah, making sure that nobody could be discriminated against would be my top one.
Okay, so... Another question, final question, then we'll just do a few quick ones. One thing you think recruitment in the industry should take more responsibility for?
Ooh. I think people need to take responsibility for the decisions that they've made. So I think that you asked about bad behavior earlier, and most of the bad behavior is down to bad employment practices or the stuff that we hear about, certainly. So I think taking the responsibility for the actions that you have taken, and that could apply to anything. So that could apply to you hiring somebody and you haven't checked their references and they turn out to be not great. It could be you reporting to YachtSpot that somebody has abused you, but you haven't reported it legally or taken steps there. I think it could be about maybe dismissing somebody. And if you've dismissed somebody, but you haven't gone the right way about it, and then you're being, there's a maybe an employment case, then you've made that decision at the time. So I think people taking accountability for the decisions that they're making is really important. You have to look with
one of the best
phrases, both within the business and privately. You've got to look at yourself first and what you could have done differently or what you could do to change or adapt or help further before you move on to others.
With the stories that you hear, obviously you've heard throughout the years, do you think it's becoming a safer place for women in the industry?
Yes, I do, because I think that there's more awareness. So I couldn't comment on whether it's safer. I wouldn't have any way to measure that. But I think there's more awareness on bad behavior, and with things like name and shame, which is where social media really shines. Hopefully people don't want to behave badly because they don't want to be subject to a post on there. So I think that's where that kind of stuff is really good. So yeah. Yeah, I hope that's changing.
Good. Right. Before we finish up, so I normally ask about a crazy question, a crazy story about their time on board, but you haven't been on board.
Right.
So we'll do some kind of standardized. Right. So biggest red flag when listing with the job listing, what is a big red flag? If someone listed a job and red flag?
Okay. So for me, biggest red flag absolutely would be somebody specifying that you have to be a certain age. But if our platform is working correctly, they will be blocked for posting that role. So you should never see that. But that would be my absolute biggest red flag. And that would go for any job. So jobs on boats, jobs on land. I think that one's really important. And then if it was a role that got through and was posted on YachtSpot, then it would be something like the no drama queens or something, because I just feel like if somebody's writing that, I feel like they are the drama.
And yeah.
I definitely.
Well, they've had drama. I think that kind of said that's kind of, yeah. There's been drama and they don't want any more drama.
If I had drama though in our workplace, the last thing I would be writing in my next job ad is no drama queens. I would be focusing on that it was a professional and high output place to work. I would not be saying no drama queens. So that would be my red flag, I think.
What's the most effective way for crew to stand out when applying online?
Ooh, great one. So have a really well put together and accurate with your latest information and experience YachtSpot profile. So make sure that is all up to date. Your CV is secondary, your profile is primary. So if you're updating your CV because you've just done some day work or you've just done a month's contract, put it on your CV, but make sure it goes on your YachtSpot profile as well, because the algorithm crawls your profile and not your CV. So that would be my absolute top tip. And then also always write a cover letter. Always write a cover letter, even if it's not mandatory. Don't make it too long, and make sure you put what you are going to bring to the boat or the role, not just talking all about yourself. There's ways to do that and there's ways to relate it. So an example I always give is if it says in the job ad, for example, that it has a heavy water sports and scuba diving program, then in the cover letter, I would advise that you would write something like, I was really excited to read that the boat has a heavy scuba schedule, because I am a paddy diver and I love XX. So I think that, yeah, no, always do the cover letter. Set yourself apart at any opportunity.
Most overlooked detail on a crew profile or CV.
Oh, yeah, this is a really good one. And I've got a really good example for this. So I think putting some of your personal attributes or hobbies, because you can also use a keyword filter on YachtSpot from an employer side of things. So I've got an amazing scenario for this, which is real life. So we've got a fleet of vessels, really high profile owner. And they had posted various roles. Owner is big into fitness. So they were looking for somebody that enjoyed road cycling. So when they were looking for the role, we sort of helped to support them to upload the role. And they said that they ideally want somebody that's really into fitness, that's into road cycling. So we advised them to use the keyword search. So they were able to pop in right road cycling and came up with a list of profiles that met that criteria. And that is what's going to set you. If you've got two people that apply that are both 100% suitable for the role, and one of you has got a personal hobby or attribute that aligns with what the boss is looking for, then
or the right birthday.
It's going to edge up. Yeah, yeah. So I think really important.
Or the right birthday. Who knows?
Wow. Yeah, or the right birthday. Yeah.
I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah. putting in anything like that's additional. And again, not making it too lengthy, but just putting a few things that you're into, keywords to your friend there. So I think that's really important.
No, that's really good.
One thing that you wish recruiters and captains would stop doing?
Ooh, I think I wish that they would stop complaining.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. How many applications they receive through YachtSpot. So it's no secret now that our numbers are crazy. There is a lot of competition for each role. So that's the growth of our platform, but also the growth of the industry. And I think that it's not uncommon for us to see 300 applications for roles these days. And we do get some complaints from captains and hiring managers that don't know how to use the system. So they can filter out people in a few clicks that are unsuitable.
Do you want to say that? Must be really easy on yours. You just kind of start narrowing down the field.
Yeah, it's really easy. But the way the system works, you have to kind of put it in the job role details and then you have to refilter. So we've changed it slightly, but there's still some sort of fundamental principles to enable you to do that. And a lot of captains sometimes complain that people that aren't meeting their criteria are allowed to apply. And we're like, yes, absolutely. We will never stop people from applying from a role, because our thought process is actually, if you've got like 9 out of 10 things, but you see a real diamond in the rough, which is our kind of phrase in the office, that actually you might want to make an exception for that person. So yeah, we allow everybody to apply just in case. But if they don't want to see people that meet the criteria, they can remove them very quickly. And if any recruiters are watching this, or captains or HODs that don't know how to do that, please get in touch. We'll show you. It's so easy.
I just like the captain that says that obviously needs to use a recruitment company.
Yeah,
then they do. If you haven't got time, then
yeah,
just pass it on.
Yeah,
technically you're not paying, so pass it on.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Very interesting. About a very, in a way, it's quite a simple change, kind of bringing it all together, but again, having a massive impact, and like we've said, kind of raising the standards in lots of different ways. And long may it continue. So I would just like to finish. I'm going to finish with this. The craziest thing since you've been in the yachting industry. So you've been to parties, you've been to the tropical locations, you've been to was there a moment when you were like, I work in the yachting industry now? Because obviously you said you were a bit reticent in the very, very beginning about coming in, because you didn't know. But was there a moment where it kind of dawned on you, like, oh my God, like, how have I ended up here?
Yeah. So my first Monaco, I was like, wow, this is a lot. It's very hot. I found what I also struggle with, and I think it's probably the way that my brain works sometimes, is all the different companies are called super yacht something. So remembering all blue. So remembering who's who is sometimes really tricky, particularly at a show like that where it's overwhelming and meeting a lot of people. But that trip for me, and we went to a fabulous management company party at the yacht club, and it was, they had every cuisine of food. They had like rollerbladers and flamenco dancers and a cigar bar and a band and a singer. And it was just, the opulence surrounding this party was quite eye-opening. I've been to some great parties in my life, but not quite one on that level. And I remember just being like, wow. And then they had the projector screen as how many millions as euros, I guess it was probably, and I can't remember now, but was under management. And I was just like, wow, this is big. And I remember just thinking that was like probably the most opulent party I've ever and ever will go to. See?
Well, that's different. Yeah. So you got this year's Monaco. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate talking to you. And like I said, just the existence of YachtSpot has changed the face of the industry in a lot of ways. You're kind of, I know you call yourself a conduit, but you are, he's a filter in a way. It is filtering and another pair of eyes just going, oh, what's going on there? Do you know what I mean? Another layer of accountability to create the responsibility of management companies and captains and stuff to actually do the right thing, race their game. So I do think it's better with you in the world.
Yeah, okay. Work then.
Huh?
We'll keep up the good work.
No, yes, you should. I think we might, I've got a couple of ideas that I'll run past you at a later time about another episode to kind of dig into, because your perspective on what's going on, although you don't get involved with some of the stuff that goes on, especially about crew welfare, would be quite interesting.
Yep.
I'd love to have you on. So thank you very much for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
Dear listener, if you're listening and you've enjoyed this episode, more to come. And obviously YachtSpot, I couldn't recommend them highly enough. If you're out there at the moment in the slog of trying to find a job, I hope Danielle has given you some ideas on how to make your profile a bit better, even on the YachtSpot platform. But I'm sure if you contacted them in some way, they would probably help you out as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Until the next time, we'll speak again soon.
Pins.